everyone. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And in this episode, we're covering off 2006's Idiocracy and the Lego Movie from 2014.
Yeah. Did you choose this one?
Or did we
just find it online? I had not seen either of these movies, and I was skeptical that they may be the same. I'm still a little bit on the fence, but I can see the similarities.
Okay. Do you want to explain the similarities then and determine how you're on the fence?
Okay. These are both movies about like an average guy and some stuff happens and then he kind of saves people. And that's about where the similarities end, I feel like. Because in Idiocracy, you know, the point is that where he comes from is average, and then he ends up in a time period where everyone else has, their IQ level has dropped, so he suddenly is above average, even though to, like, the viewer, he's an average guy.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Lego Movie, the whole point is that he's average in the movie and everyone else is more intelligent than him, but his averageness is what helps him win. Opposite points.
Yeah. It's to me, both of these movies are idiots saving idiots from themselves.
Mm.
It's, what was I thinking about it earlier? For those who haven't seen the Lego Movie, it's weirdly bizarre, and not as funny as I remember it, because that was the second time I watched it. The first time, right, I thought it was funny, and the second time watching it, I don't find it funny at all.
I was genuinely, because I've never seen either of these movies, but I have an awareness of the Lego Movie.
Yeah.
I was genuinely shocked to find out it came out more than 10 years ago. Like, to me, in my mind, it's like, yeah, that's something people were really interested in really recently. That's like a 2020 movie. It's right. Like, no, that was 2014.
Yeah.
That's over a decade ago, which is crazy.
Maybe we
weren't as annoyed by Chris Pratt back then.
I was just going to ask, like, at what point in time did people choose Chris Pratt as a voice actor?
He's not doing any voice acting.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't even, it's not even a case of, like, he's not disguising his voice, because there are voice actors who are very good and do basically the same voice in different things, but he's also not acting. He's just, like, flatly delivering lines. Like, he doesn't give a performance in any way. It doesn't make anything interesting, and there's bits that totally fall flat because there's supposed to be a joke, but it's just Chris Pratt making a noise with his face.
Yeah.
And there's no actual acting there. And I think that, like, comes from the roles he got big in. Like, Andy, I love Parks and Rec, but his character in Parks and Rec is just idiot who says stupid thing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to do, sorry, I just realized that was going to sound very offensive. He doesn't need to do a lot of acting for that. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, say these words and you will sound stupid saying them.
Yeah.
You don't need to be fantastic to do that, I guess.
It was also a really weird pick when he was picked to play Mario in the Mario movie.
That was just bizarre.
Yeah.
And we did talk about that when we did the Mario movie.
Yeah.
It's just very strange. He just doesn't do great. He just doesn't really do great voice acting. Will Ferrell in this movie is doing actually pretty good voice acting, yeah. I feel like.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett is, yeah, Will Arnett's just Will Arnett. Yeah. But he is acting in that role. Yeah. Elizabeth Banks, you know, like, there's a good, like, there's some actors in there who are still, like, big name actors or relatively big name actors who are putting in a vocal performance.
Yeah.
But it's this whole, I guess this was around, this was the era where they were really being like, oh, well, you know, let's just put these big names in voice acting roles, as opposed to, like, people who
are professional voice actors.
Yeah. And the Mario one made no sense because, like, that is a character who has been played by the same guy for so long.
And the fact that, anyway.
We talked about that already in the Mario episode, so we don't need to go into Mario voice actors.
Yeah, this is, that was before he left his previous wife as well. 2014.
Oh, right. I was like, the Mario movie. No, Anna Faris. Yeah, that was a whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where I think my mindset towards Chris Pratt in general just sort of changed.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a kind of a divide in public opinion around then.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Chris Pratt and Anna Faris used to be married, and they have a son together who is disabled.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt split with Anna Faris. I think it was, it sounded like it was a little bit messy, but with, you know, not a lot of details in the public. And then he married Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then they had a baby together, and he very publicly, also he joined a cult. And he very publicly then talked about how happy he was to finally have a healthy child.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, whoa, okay. All right. Great. Wonderful. That's a great thing to say about your existing child that you already have. But yeah, also he's in a cult. I can't even remember which cult he's in, but he's in some like horrible, so like
a cult. It's a very, very much like churchy, like where the people are more in love with the church than the ideal of God. And
yeah. And it's definitely, there's a lot of like wealthy people in it, I think. And it's also known for being extremely homophobic. So it kind of essentially came out through that Chris Pratt is extremely homophobic.
Yeah.
Kels Suprise. So I'm not sure, I can't remember exactly when all that happened, but obviously public opinion, I won't say declined, but was split because there are people who still love Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but they're out there.
On another note, you'd never seen Idiocracy either.
No, I'd never seen Idiocracy either.
Wow, I'd forgotten how, like, looking it through, like, a movie that's almost, well, it's 2006, so
almost 20 years.
Yeah. It was, things have changed in the lens, but
I will say that even 2006 is kind of pushing it for some of the language they have in there. Like, if you told me that was early 90s, I'd be like, yeah, I guess that's a sign of its time. 2006, they should have probably known better than.
Yeah.
And I, something I said to you in person about this, and I'll say it on here as well. So there's a lot of language thrown around that are slurs, essentially. Many slurs against many different demographics. And I kind of, to some extent, understood it as if it was a filmmaking tool, in that it's only when he goes to, or when he, so he essentially gets cryogenically frozen. It's supposed to be for a year, and he ends up frozen for 500 years.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, in this future, everyone is stupid, essentially. And I was like, okay, I get it that it's a commentary on low education, you know, and those people, and people who don't have access to information and education and socialization.
No, that's been proven false, but continue.
But I can understand that might be a commentary he was making. Yeah. And that's why they're using this language. But then the narrator uses it as well, and I was like, oh no, okay, they were just supposed to accept this.
Yeah.
As like, this is okay, and just, it's not okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I was giving Mike Judge more credit than he deserved, I think.
Yeah. But other than that, how did you find the movie?
I mean, relatively enjoyable, but like, you know, weird.
Yeah.
I felt like Maya Rudolph's character could have been handled better. I felt like, I think it's not Dane Cook. Dax Shepard? Is that who it is? Dax Shepard is in it. I just found him annoying at every step of the way. Terry Crews is, you know, enjoyable as an actor, but the character was a bit weird. The characters are all a bit weird.
Yeah.
I did like Luke Wilson in it. Dax Shepard just really annoyed me in it. Just like consistently. And he doesn't, and he's supposed to like improve, and he doesn't really.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least Maya Rudolph's character gets like a kind of redemption and ends up like being the person. Well, that was a similarity between the two, is that the like main female character, who in both cases then like does become a love interest but didn't really need to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like gets him out of trouble by showing, or like uses what he's done and shows the world by using a live broadcast. She shows the world that what he's done has actually worked and saved them.
Yeah, massive similarity between like the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's just like this one. It's like, oh, they've just lifted that out of Idiocracy. Yeah, I don't know. Because here's the thing as well. Here's the thing about Idiocracy, right? Here's my big, big problem with it. Like, I understand the commentary Mike Judge is trying to make, where he's saying, you know, if we rely on all these different things, we're just going to get stupider and stupider, and then we won't know how to even, like, exist as a...
Yeah.
As a species. But he's just discriminating against loads of people, and especially low-income, low-educated people. Like, people who don't have access to higher levels of education aren't inherently bad people, which seems to be Mike Judge's opinion. Is like, if you, and also he's like, if you want to have children, you're a bad person and you're stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, Mike, I don't think that's how it works. But then again, we are talking about the creator of Beavis and Butthead, right? So I don't know if I should expect him to have
valid criticism. It's definitely like this commentary on sort of a world which does feel like it's not reality, like because people have proved, like, scientifically there is proof that like there is like the whole nurture versus nature thing. People like that have low education don't always have low education children. Like, children do, like, you know, there is possibility. That's the whole, like...
Also, IQ is bullshit as a system.
Yeah. There are many cases of people growing up in poverty and then going to college and being successful. Like, it's not just because you're... It's very much like this whole white trash people just continuously populate.
Yeah, so do you know what happened? He just saw one family in Disneyland and thought they were really annoying. That's it. He saw one family. It was two women, maybe sisters, maybe friends, I don't know, who were like fighting each other and they were surrounded by kids. And he was like, God, wouldn't it suck if everywhere was like this?
Yeah.
And that was the entire basis for this movie.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mike Judge just... I mean, accurate name, Mike Judge just judged some people based on a 5-second glimpse into their life. And then wrote an entire movie about, what if everyone is as stupid as these two women I saw fighting in Disneyland?
Yeah.
It really is...
It feels elitist.
Yeah, it's a film... This is the thing, it's elitist and it's not even done well. Because it's a... Not from a filmmaking standpoint, but from, like... It's a film that seems like it's trying to just look down on people.
Yeah.
But then also just, like, doesn't even know what it's commenting on. Because it's also, like, seemingly making a commentary on corporations.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, it kind of ties into Lego Movie again, except as we find out at the end of Lego Movie. Spoilers for the end of Lego Movie. This is a spoiler.
You've had 10, 11 years to watch it.
We find out that this whole, universe we've been seeing is in the mind of, like, a child who's playing with these Legos. And the reason that it's, you know, the evil villain is Lord Business and is all about corporations is not actually necessarily a commentary on corporations. It's because that's how he sees his dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it makes more sense as that father-son dynamic.
Yeah, the story within the story of the Lego Movie is actually... really interesting, because it does remind me a lot of like the early 90s, late 80s sort of like family movies. And I can't give you an example off the top of my head because, like, I can't think of anything that has the exact parallel storyline. But it does feel very much sort of the father-child relationship. Like, most of it in that earlier era, especially on TV, it's just, well, I say early era, in my generation's lifetime. The dads are always idiots.
Mm.
And it's coming off that sort of 1950s neglectful dad, the dad who's never home sort of mentality, which sort of died off.
It's a bit like Peter Panning in Hook.
Yeah.
Dad who just cares about his job and doesn't want the kids to get in the way of that, forgetting that the reason he's working like this is to provide for the kids in the first place.
And it's a very interesting story that it sort of happens, and it's like, sort of like you get this overarching thing that's happening in the movie, but like the movie within the movie, the story within the story is actually quite fascinating because it's the father having sort of control over his like hobby, and his son want to participate with it, but you know, and this is where these super builders and all this crazy stuff that he's building is happening from, is literally him just trying to like play toys with his dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, these aren't toys. It's like, we bought them from a toy store.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but that's different. When adults do them, they're adult things. It's like, no, they're still toys, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Gluing your Lego bricks down so they stay permanently there is like the entire opposite point of Lego.
Yeah.
I know some grown adults who are generations older than me, mm-hmm. who have loyalty cards at the Lego store because they buy so much Lego.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally valid for adults to play the Lego. They probably don't want to say play the Lego. Yeah, yeah, to like collect these big sets and whatever. Yeah. And this is, you know, and in this, he's built this whole city. And there he has this kid. I assume the kid is 8.5 because there's the whole prophecy and they're like, and then 8.5 years later. So I assume that's the prophecy started when the child was born.
Yeah.
So the dad has built this city and it's been there for years. And then the kid just wants to play in that space. And the dad then is, as you said, trying to glue it in place so that the kid can't mess it up. Mm. Forgetting that, like, you know, he should be playing with his child. Yeah. And there is room for him to have these buildings, but still actually also do something fun with his kid with these things and bring whatever joy he was getting from it, even if he's not getting from it anymore, whatever joy he was getting from the Lego sets, bring that joy to the child and make it something they do together. And that is kind of a nice thing at the end of the movie. And it also then, like I said, explains why the villain is named Lord Business, you know, and it is, this is such a like, oh yeah, I'm Mr. Business, I'm so evil, I don't let anyone play. Yeah. You're like, okay, that is the kid's mindset.
Yeah.
Whereas then in Idiocracy, there's lots of satires on existing corporations.
Yeah.
And one of the like trivia facts that I found fun was that like, and it's very noticeable in the movie as well, is that there's all these different corporations throughout it that have had their logos altered what they do altered and their names altered from, you know, 2005 to 2505, except Fox News, which is just exactly the same,
which
I thought was very funny. But that is just clearly Mike Judge making a commentary on the IQ level of Fox News producers and anchors. But yeah, it is interesting. And there's some commentary to be had in it. Because you also could extrapolate like a climate change message with the garbage piles, whatever, and how that's, because that is happening. It's not like as visible to most people as it is in the movie. And then also with, you know, the savior of the people comes in the form of someone getting water to crops and getting crops to grow.
Yeah.
But I don't know if an environmental message is even what he was going for. I feel like the movie was mostly just made so that Mike Judge could be judgy about people that he thought weren't worth considering as people.
It definitely has that moment of, like, the brand stuff, because they are just, like, sort of the same, where Starbucks is sort of like this adult entertainment place, and Brondo, the thirst mutilator, which is a hilarious name. Mm. But just
it's got what plants crave.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, everybody to make money was just, like, brought to you by Carl's Jr. It was like, you're an idiot. They pay you every time you say it. It's like, who's keeping count of that? You just walk up.
Who's paying you? Yeah, you actually getting paid? Yeah.
I find the fact that the cigarettes were massive also hilarious. Mm. But yeah, just the, you know, it's got electrolytes. It's got what plants crave.
That is
what,
something what that is, you what, quote to me all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I know. Now you get the reference.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think Joe and
Emmett?
No, I was going to say Joe and Fredo as right. one character at Emmett.
Right, okay.
Because he is a savior and also a huge idiot.
Yeah.
So maybe the casting of Chris. No,
no, because he doesn't act.
Yeah, yeah.
He needed to act. He needed to do some acting.
The character of Rita is very similar to Lucy, of being this, like, woman who's in another abusive relationship, sort of being the love interest and ending up with him at the end.
Yeah, it's... Lucy definitely is much more... Certainly throughout the film. Because Rita really does contribute at the end, but throughout the film, Lucy contributes more overall, yeah. and also... is the intelligent person yeah, in that yeah, dynamic yeah. because Emmett is just stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and she actually has worked because she wanted to be the master builder, whatever. She wanted herself to be the chosen one. So she has, like, worked to get to a point where she thought she could do this thing. Whereas Rita, for most of the film, is either not there or is just, like, conning someone into giving her more and more money by pretending she's going to have sex with him later on.
Yeah.
And then gets arrested for not having sex with him.
Yeah. Prostitution's easy in the future when you don't have to do any work. It's a very... There are similarities. I wouldn't, like, be able to pin down who Terry Crews is. Back to the Lego...
Yeah, because that is the thing. I was thinking about that when we were watching Lego Movie, because we watched Lego Movie second. Is that in Idiocracy, there's not really a villain.
Yeah.
Because Terry Crews is in that, like, position of power. So it's either Terry Crews or Thomas Hayden Church is the Lord Business equivalent, or the two of them together, because Thomas Hayden Church plays the CEO of Brondo.
Yeah.
And in and Lord Business is the CEO of Octan, which is like an actual fake corporation that is on, like, Lego sets.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a petrol company.
Yeah. And in the Lego movie, like Brondo is in Idiocracy, it's like overarching, like, it owns the TV station, it owns all these other things. Yeah. You know, it's all run by this one company and he's the head of it, and that's kind of Thomas Hayden Church in thing, but he's not posed as a villain.
Yeah. He's sort of, like, still in that awkward position of, like, the economy's broken because literally one entire company produces everything for everybody.
Yeah, and has all the jobs, and then when you stopped using it to water the crops because the crops were dying and you used water instead.
Yeah.
The machine, the computer, like, auto laid off people because the stocks dropped. Stupid. That is possibly the out of everything in Idiocracy. That possibly is the thing that's most likely to come true, is just having, like, AI just making decisions based on stock to lay people off.
It's the only real difference between reality and that movie in regards to that is a bunch of evil companies, including Nestle, just control monopolies over water instead.
Hmm. And also that, like, people are genuinely malicious.
Yeah.
Whereas the idea in Idiocracy is that they're all so stupid that they can't possibly actually intend to do anything malicious. They just don't have intentions at all.
Yeah. The thing I was going to mention earlier about the other super... What are they called? Super builders?
Master builders.
Master builders. Is they all come off as, like, very... I don't know if someone did research into, like, base level, like, year one psychology. But they all feel like embodiments of, like, actual... Not, I wouldn't say medical diagnoses, but, like, they all feel very...
neurodiverse?
Yeah. Because, like, Batman as a character is just very bizarre and not very Batman. And yeah, just this, the whole thing of just like, I don't know, the movie's actually really weird when you like try and break it down of like how the characters act, what their motivations are, you know.
That's because they solve all that by being like, yeah, this is just a kid playing with
them. Yeah. But doesn't that worry you about the like mental health of the child? Because one of the characters is a unicat, I can't remember, like, and it's just, like, continuously repressing all their negative thoughts to the point where they explode and, like, can take out planes.
Yeah. That's just the kid getting frustrated and ripping up the planes, I assume.
Do you?
I mean, if everything is analogous with something that's happening in the real world, like... That's the kid finally getting really annoyed and just destroying them, right?
Yeah, but then they could have just had the good guys winning at that point. No, I'm just literally saying, like, as they're getting defeated, that Unicat, like, literally stops being happy, friendly. It reminds me of, like, Princess Bubblegum almost. You know, it's a very weird, weird... Because it's, like, hints to it throughout the rest of the movie as well.
Yeah. It's, like, gotta have happy thoughts.
Yeah. You right over there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to move on to some trivia or...
Oh, already?
I don't know, because you just sort of, like, laid back and were, like...
I was just listening to you. We're less than half an hour in.
Oh, fair enough. I can't see how long we've been going for.
You're done. You don't want to talk about anything.
No, I'm happy to continue. It's just you weren't contributing and giving me anything to bounce off, so I was like, I don't know.
I was listening to you. You were telling me about the cat.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do we assume that they're all aspects of this kid's psyche? But the thing is that kids just have big imaginations that aren't necessarily reflective.
So you're saying I'm reading into it?
No, I'm saying that, like, I don't know, do you need to interpret it as, like, the kid is, like, ridiculously schizophrenic, and it's, you know, this is like that.
There's an 80s spaceman who just screams spaceship continuously.
Yeah.
For, like, way longer than it was funny, even for children.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the jokes in this movie go on way longer than they need to, even for children.
Yeah.
There was a bit where, like, Chris Pratt was just going, like, for ages that I literally turned to you and went, is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have found that funny as a kid. I don't find it funny now. It's just Chris Pratt going, for no reason.
There's a little bit of what's the Ryan Reynolds movie we saw?
Free Guy.
Yeah, there's a little Free Guy in this as well.
I thought that immediately. I think I put that in my notes right near the beginning. It felt more like Free Guy than Idiocracy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, end up Free Guy-ish. Oh, it kind of does a little bit. Yeah, there's definitely, that was what I thought right in the beginning, that when he was, like, going about his day doing, like, all the stuff by the manual and getting, you know, he likes the song that everyone's supposed to like, he, you know, drinks whatever, you know, the coffee that everyone's supposed to drink or whatever, you know, like, it's all, everything is exactly how it's supposed to be.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah. And that very much was like Free Guy, where he is supposed to be this, like, average dude who does all these things, and then it's and then he breaks out of that mold. But I don't feel like Emmett really breaks out of the mold.
No.
But then the message is for him is that, like, you can be ordinary and you can still achieve extraordinary things by believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a nice message for a kid's movie.
It is.
What's the message of Idiocracy? You just got to be the smartest person in the room and everyone will think you're great. Don't put energy drinks on crops.
It's more of a sports drink. It's got electrolytes.
it's got what plants crave.
Yeah. It's got what everybody craves. What is it? I don't think there is one.
Yeah. Not that every movie has to have, like, a moral of the story, but, like, what point are they even trying to make in Idiocracy?
That, I guess, uneducated.
Don't have kids?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or is it intelligent people should have more kids so that low IQ people aren't the only ones having kids?
Feels like this. So this is the thing. Despite all the negativity, and it's well deserved because there is stuff that language that's used in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel very 2025. Where you have the heavyweight champion of the world being the president and of America. And it's very, like, there are some, you know, weird
parallels
happening at the moment of just...
Yeah, but it's not like there was no precedent for that back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Ronald Reagan...
Yeah, it's true. Trickle-down economics did not work, and now we have billionaires, and you've got a crushed middle class.
But, like, you know, I mean, when was Arnold Schwarzenegger a...
Governor? We took that break from...
Was that at this stage? Mid-2000s? It feels like it could have been.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not... Even at that point, it wasn't unheard of for... celebrities to be getting into politics, you know? It's not like, oh, Idiocracy predicted this. I think it feels, without outright saying it anywhere, it feels very pro-eugenics.
2003 to 2011.
See? So literally, Idiocracy came out while Arnie was governor of California.
Yeah.
So that's probably what Terry Crews is based on.
True.
So it's not like predicting that, you know, in 2025, Donald Trump is going to be president. It's saying, hey, look, why is Arnold Schwarzenegger the governor of California? Yeah, I think because the whole, like, opening premise of Idiocracy is it's shot like a documentary almost.
Yeah.
But it's following these two couples and one of the two, like, one set of... One of the couples is two people who are very low IQ, low income. And then the other one are two people who are high IQ and high income. And the joke, I guess, and the premise of the movie is that the low IQ, low income family are just continuously having children.
Yeah.
And the father is, like, sleeping with... five other women and having children with them, and then he's having grandchildren when they're still, like, very young or whatever. Whereas the other couple are like, oh, we're just, you know, we're...
The economy's not great at the moment.
Yeah, the economy's not great. We want to get into a solid position with our jobs, and they're like, we're in solid position with our jobs, but the economy isn't good. And then they're like, oh, well, why would you want to bring a child into this world? And then it's like, oh, well, we tried and... we were infertile, and then I was like, oh, you know, then he passed away and I've frozen my eggs and hopefully I'll find someone else and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, this is just some, like, it's, I don't know, is the message there intelligent people need to be having more kids? Because that feels like that's what he's trying to say, right? We need to medically castrate low IQ, low income people and force high IQ, high income people to have more kids. That's the message I get from Mike Judge. That's what I'm saying, pro-eugenics.
Yeah, it's very Elon-esque. For a guy who doesn't have any of his kids who are smart enough to not talk to him. Yeah, it's a very weird opening message.
Does Mike Judge have any kids?
I have no idea.
I'm going to try to find that out.
Do they talk to him?
But this is also, because I, now, here's the thing, I haven't watched this show, so you'll have to tell me, but he wrote King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Right? Is that not about a low-income, no. low IQ family? Oh, no. Okay. I don't know enough about it.
Hank Hill, I guess, makes quite a decent amount of money for that era. It's a very, like, the whole joke of King of the Hill is they're all very blue-collar jobs.
Right.
He sells propane and propane accessories. His next-door neighbor is an exterminator. I can't remember what Boomhauer does. And Bill is a army barber. So they're all very much just like, I don't know. I don't even know what we refer. It's very blue collar. It's a blue collar show,
right?
About, you know, your family and your square of lawn and drinking beer in the alleyway and with your neighbors who've known forever, which is always a weird trope in a lot of shows where people meet people. Like, I think Family Guy did it like really on the nose years ago, where it was just like there was a flashback episode where Peter meets all his neighbors, except I think Joe moves in like season one. I don't remember, because that show came out like over a decade ago, I think, at this point.
Ironically, Mike Judge has children with multiple different women.
Okay.
Even though that's literally a thing he was satirizing and saying was an indication of having low IQ in his movie. Apparently, he insists that none of his stuff touches on politics. He says he doesn't get political in any of his things, like...
What?
King of the Hill, Idiocracy. He's not political.
Not political.
Yeah, he says he doesn't get political.
Right.
It's more about social issues, not politics, is what he says. But also, Ethan Coen. So this, I did say when the names came up at the beginning, I was like, I didn't know Ethan Coen wrote this. It's a different guy with a very similar name, Ethan Coen. Yeah. So if you move the H from Ethan into Coen instead, who wrote Idiocracy with him, said that Mike Judge did try to produce Idiocracy-themed campaign advertisements mocking Donald Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
Ironic if it's not supposed to be political.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know. He seems like a weird guy. Because he's also like... Because my main thing I know Mike Judge from is Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't remember a lot of it because I was watching it when I was too young to be watching Beavis and Butthead. Sorry, Mom. definitely was watching...
That MTV generation.
Yeah, I was watching my... Okay, this is... My memory of this, maybe I've got this wrong, but my memory is I would sometimes be in my mom's bed and she would watch Conan O'Brien and then or Jay Leno, one or the other, and then she'd go and do something downstairs and I'd pretend to be asleep and then I'd put on Beavis and Butthead or Celebrity Deathmatch, both of which I shouldn't have been watching at whatever age that was. So sorry about that, Mom. But, yeah, I don't have clear memory of what Beavis and Butthead was actually about, but, like, it was basically Idiocracy, right? It was just two, like, complete idiots doing stupid things constantly. The whole point was that they were both just really stupid? I think it was
supposed to be, like, a modern version of, a critique on, like, the time.
Which is also what Idiocracy is supposed to be.
Yeah, but that's more of a critique on how they see the future, though, isn't it?
But, no, listen, no film... Listen, you're a sci-fi fan, you know this.
I am.
No film about the future is actually about the future.
Yeah, it's about the current economical politics and
every like distant future film is a commentary on how you're seeing society right now.
Yeah.
So Idiocracy is not a commentary on 2505 and what Mike Judge thinks 2505 looks like. It's a commentary on what Mike Judge was seeing in 2005.
Yeah.
That he was like, this is what the world is.
He was also at Disneyland.
True. He was also at Disneyland where he saw these women fighting.
It's interesting because, like, that's one of
the... And he also has children with multiple women.
Yeah. Did he have children with multiple women at that time, or has that happened after?
Ooh, I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
Funny. Life imitating art.
Because that's one of the, so we can sort of, like, it's...
Well, definitely he had at least his first two children before that time, because there's a picture of him with them in 2009, and they are clearly, like, teenagers.
Right.
But then I assume the other child was after that. Yeah, I think the other child might have been after that. Oh, no, maybe not. No, because one of the sources about it is from 2003. So maybe he did already have children with different women at that point in time.
Weird.
So then what's he doing? What's he talking about? Why is he making these criticisms? If he's doing it himself. And he was at Disneyland himself, you're right.
Yeah. You can't see people fighting at Disneyland without being in Disneyland.
It's the there's a Tumblr phrase for it, and it's like, what were you doing at the Devil's Sacrament? Because the idea is like, you can't call someone out for being in this place if you couldn't have possibly seen them without you being there.
Where's that from? What's that?
It's a Tumblr thing. It's like you were at the. It's like, oh, I saw her at the Devil's Sacrament, and the answer is, what were you doing at the Devil's Sacrament?
Right. I see you to an hour in the ball pit.
So hang on here. Now this is interesting.
Oh yeah.
So his three children were born in 1990. 1994 and 1996, allegedly.
What do you mean, allegedly?
Well, because I don't know how accurate this source is.
Okay.
But his marriage to one of those women was from 1989 until 2009.
So they're extramarital children.
So at least one of those children is an extramarital child.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike Judge. And then you're going and, you know, complaining about other people having children. And you're out here getting women that you're not married to pregnant while you're married.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible if none of that's true and we've just...
It's just shit on
just,
him.
Just shitting on a... Oh, Mike Judge. Anyway. I mean, I don't know that I will say having... Because I know King of the Hill is probably the biggest... thing Mike Judge is known for overall.
Yeah.
And I've never watched it. And having watched Idiocracy, it doesn't inspire me to seek out anything else he's done. Because I feel like I can read from that what his opinions are and I don't like them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you want to do trivia?
I don't mind. I didn't know you had an interest in watching through King of the Hill.
I didn't.
Like, I was just like, what do you mean?
I mean, if this movie had been, like, really good, maybe I would have been like, oh, maybe I should watch more of his stuff. But I just feel like he's got a kind of yuck outlook on humanity. And it's clear the kind of people he doesn't like, based on all the slurs that he uses in his movie. And I don't like it. Anyway, I didn't take a lot of trivia down. For Idiocracy, I don't want to read this whole thing, but it's essentially boiling it down to, just because I think it's funny. And it's something I did know about Idiocracy before we watched it, which is that they wanted... costume, like, their goal with costume designs was to make things look stupid, but also to do it cheaply.
Yeah.
And the costume designer wanted to find something futuristic looking but inexpensive, and talked to a small startup company that hadn't released their product to the world yet, and was like, look at how horrible these are. We got to use them. And Mike Judge was saying, well, you know, what if by the time the movie comes out, these will become popular? And she was like, look how stupid they are. There's no way they're going to become popular.
And those shoes grow up to be Crocs.
Those are Crocs. so many characters in the movie are wearing Crocs, and they just genuinely didn't believe anyone would ever choose to wear them. And yet people are still wearing them in 2025.
Yeah.
And then that was the only thing I took down for that. For the Lego movie, one of the things is, so during the ending where Emmett is explaining to President Business about all the different sets that people have built, the videos playing on the television screens in the background are actual Lego stop motion films made by Lego fans. So none of those are made by the filmmakers, but they're all fan brick films. And then the other thing was that Mark Mothersbaugh, who is primarily credited with the song Everything Is Awesome, but also did other musical work on the film, tracked down Alessandro Alessandroni, who is the person who did all the whistling in Ennio Morricone's scores for spaghetti westerns.
Right.
Back in the 70s. So in the, like, Old Westland music, there's whistling in it, and it's literally the same guy whistling, which I thought that was so much fun that they were like, I'm going to track down that exact guy to whistle for us in our Old West things. Rather than, you can just get anyone to whistle, right? But I thought that was very cool, because that's fun. That's a fun little Easter egg that people, you don't even know about. I don't know if you want to talk budget and box office. Is probably not a lot of point.
No.
Because I think people can imagine. I mean, we can do it. The Lego movie, budget $60 million. Box office $470 million.
Yeah.
Until Barbie came out, it was the highest grossing film based on a toy, I believe. It also, at the time, broke some records for animated films, from what I remember. Idiocracy, budget $2.4 million, and a box office of $495,000. So not even making back, like, a fifth of your budget in box office. It didn't do great.
Tell you what also didn't do great is the second Lego movie.
Was it the Lego Batman movie?
No, Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Oh, okay.
It had a budget of $99 million and made $199 million.
That's still not bad.
In comparison to what was it, 60 yeah. versus 400?
No, 200 and something. Was it? Yeah, but still. I mean, that's not bad. That's still making back, you're making a decent profit on that still.
It's not printing money.
No, but the goal is to get double what your budget was, which they have just achieved.
Yeah.
And sequels rarely do as well as the original. Yeah, that's not too bad. All right, is there anything else you want to talk about on these movies?
Not really.
Did you feel like this was a fun episode?
Yeah, it was fun enough. we have to, like, break up the, you know, this is exactly the same as the other thing.
And yeah.
We get into the, I think we focus mainly on everything wrong with the movies rather than.
I think, yeah, there definitely are, like, I can see the similarity between these two.
Yeah.
And it is that kind of, like, there's, like, an overarching, and then there's a few moments that you're like, oh, this is very like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not like shot for shot or plot for plot.
And it hasn't been as close as some of the other fun episodes we've done.
Yeah, it's always, I always find it fun when we do a fun episode and there's like two things that you, that like when you watch, like you think, oh, that's funny, they're kind of similar. And then you watch them and you go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc. and
Minority Report
is, I think, my favorite because like.
Not a Bug's Life and.
Well, because those are both very Seven Samurai good.
Yeah.
Whereas I just thought it was like a funny idea to go Monsters, Inc. and Minority Report. And then we were going through it. I was like, my God, like every moment of this is the same movie. And you wouldn't expect it because they seem like two totally different movies. And they're also both movies that I have watched many times and enjoyed and never thought about them. And it's one of those ones that when I tell other people about it, they stop and like think and go, oh my God. Like, without me even having to explain what the similarities are. And hopefully we'll have more of those to come as well. I think this one was a little bit more of a stretch in some ways. But then also is, you know, where it's meeting up, they are quite similar.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
If you listened to this episode up to this point, and you're still listening right this second, go to our website at ittakes2.co.nz. You can find all of our stuff. It's been a while since I've done this little thing. I don't remember what's in there.
links to all our social media.
Yep.
A mailing list if you want to join it, though it is infrequent because we don't always have a lot of news.
Because we're regular people with regular jobs.
Yeah, our Discord server. I will say also, if you listen on Spotify, I have noticed that Spotify have recently introduced a comment section.
That's interesting.
So you can comment on our episode.
Tell us how you feel about Mike Judge.
Yeah, tell us your thoughts on Mike Judge.
And Chris Pratt. Yeah. And if you share, that does a lot more work for us and for yourself than paying people can do. And that's the issue at this point in time, folks, is that to get your product out there on the internet, you either have to rely on your current users or paying people. And we're doing this for funsies. We're not aiming to, like, retire and, like, or not retire, but, like, retire from real-world jobs and...
Oh, yeah, we are consistently losing money on this project.
Yeah.
We've got a website, we've got an RSS feed.
Yeah, this will cost money. We don't make back because we don't take sponsors and all the other weird podcast stuff that people do with them.
We've made a total of, I think, $40 off this podcast. That's because we did a live show.
The multi-level marketing bros. We're not trying to sell you crypto. So if you can share this episode, maybe with someone who...
hates Mike Judge.
Or quotes Mike Judge.
Yeah, someone who quotes Mike Judge all the time.
Yeah.
And be like, wow, these guys sure talk a lot about Mike Judge in this one episode.
That would really do us a huge favor. So thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.